All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Sandy Williams is here. It's always great to have him here. You know, Sandy, before we went to break, we were talking about China and coming to the rescue of Russia. And let me ask you before we go any further. Let's see. We are helping Ukraine, our country.
Yeah.
We're financially sending resources to Ukraine financially. We're offering them military supplies, military equipment. We're doing that, but yet we're telling China, you can't help Russia. What is that?
Well, I mean, we think we're on a high horse because as far as our version of this thing is that Russia precipitated this war for its own imperial purposes. And so, the world needs to line up against Russia on this. I think the view of maybe India and at least China for sure is that the United States played a role in precipitating it with the whole NATO flirtation, moving NATO bases potentially into Ukraine if Ukraine joined NATO, which of course would be like moving military bases into, I don't know where, Hong Kong or something close to China, mainland China. Now Hong Kong is mainland China now, but into something immediately adjacent that would be viewed as aggressive towards China. So China has a different worldview than we do about our conduct. And, you know, and so does a lot of the world. And, you know, you were talking about how people in America, you know, think that China might be a backward place. I don't think our world leaders do. And American leaders do. I think they understand that China is far from a backward place and that it's a lion ready to roar, and not in terms of its warlike capacity, but in terms of its economic capacity. And what troubles me most about the positions we're taking about China is that most of our hostility towards China appears to be a fear of China's potential to have economic dominance in the future in terms of being a bigger economic player than the United States, which is like, I suppose, General Motors thinking that they have to go to war against Ford if Ford gets to be a bigger manufacturer than General Motors. There's the world of military might and the world of conflict shouldn't simply be based on a view of economic competition and economic might. That's the kind of stuff that used to go on 200, 300 years ago that we learned in history was a terrible thing. Mercantile wars, wars over trade. And yet, here we are potentially talking ourselves into doing that same thing with China because we're claiming that China is communist and runs an economy in a manner that gives it an economic advantage. But then, as I would point out, we're now talking about trying to run our economy more that same way. We're going to take $55 billion and put it into the chip industry. We're talking about taking lots of federal money and putting it into artificial intelligence. This is exactly how China runs its economy. They take federal Chinese money and invest it in what they believe to be the future-oriented industries, and they don't necessarily subsidize those industries or otherwise cheat in some economic competitive regard other than making their investment capital cheap, which is exactly what we do with tax breaks and with direct subsidies.
So Sandy, let's move to something I've been thinking about for a long time and knowing it almost seems not only improbable but impossible. Are we ever going to be able to change the direction of politics in this country from the perspective of what we see now, what's been going on with Democrats and Republicans being arch enemies at a time? I don't know how it works in other nations, but are they as divided as we are in our politics? Well, and the other governments, I remember you talking about some of the places you've visited and all the...
Well, I think most of the other countries in the world have multiple parties, and the multiple parties have a fair amount of enmity towards one another. I mean, the far right and the far left parties in countries have trouble getting along with one another. But most of these countries with the parliamentary systems require that these multiple parties form coalition governments to form governments. So they have to learn how to cooperate with one another. I think most of the other countries have a value system and a culture that's more homogeneous than ours is. We don't seem to have a value system that's related strongly, as many other countries are, to, for instance, the family. We give lots of lip service to the family, but we don't put federal programs in place to promote family, okay? We basically look at federal programs as being something that denigrate families. You know, the social safety net is viewed by many in America as being destructive to the family units. But so we don't have child daycare. We don't have things that are highly supportive of families and working parents. Other countries are far more committed to the education of their children, the care of their children, the opportunities for their children. I ended the show last Friday talking about, well, what if in the United States every child that was born, instead of being allowed to live in their home, was assigned a neighborhood and a place and a school that they would go to, and it was randomly assigned, you know, the parents of those children would suddenly become very interested in making sure that every child born had an equal opportunity, because every child would be at equal risk of being put someplace where the opportunity might be less. And if we thought of things that way and realized that birth is an accident, that a child does not ask for, but right, rather receives, then we would begin to think of the child as being the incoming generation as being something that deserves to have equal opportunity. And if that would be the case, if we were actually a community of people, if we were committed to the goodness of mankind, if we walked the talk. But we don't walk the talk, and many other countries do. So will we square away our political process? I don't think we'll square it away until we walk the talk. And we've become a country of hypocrites. Much of our religious right is very hypocritical. They spend most of their time figuring out who they won't tolerate. I mean, toleration is what's taught in almost every religion. You tolerate fellow man, and yet why do we spend all our time trying to decide whether we will tolerate transsexuals? Why does the religious right want to focus on the categories of people that they won't tolerate? When tolerance should be the basic teaching and the basic cultural value that we would all have. And so I think the United States spends far too much time. It's like we're like an eighth grade club. You know, kids form an eighth grade club, and the main thing the club has is who's not allowed in it. You know, it's a clique.
You know, Sandy, the fact that, like you said, you know, can't use the term gay, you know, I mean, can't. What is to be gained by any of those things? With all the issues that we are dealing with in this country, and yet that can become the topic of discussion that we're constantly talking about, and not these serious issues you and I have been talking about. People don't have time for that. Don't bore me with that, right? That doesn't fit what I'm trying to do.
I mean, actually, all of this stuff kind of comes together, though. How much we spend on weapons and defense, and how that shortchanges us from being able to spend money on actual people benefits, and how we distract ourselves from curing the ills of our society by focusing on bogus issues that everyone spends all kinds of emotional attention and emotional energy and distracting time upon. It's really keeping us from creating the country that would be the place that would have this great opportunity and be able to look with its head up and say to the rest of the world, look what we have here. This is something really good. Maybe you should emulate it. We should be going around the world and looking at places and investigating how we could get better. I mean, I keep coming back to Norway and places like that who have a fantastic public value system. And you can see it based on the priorities they've set for themselves within their government, how they spend their money, how the people, the happiness that the people realize within their countries. I mean, we're just falling way short of being a place of constant improvement.
You know, Sandy, if you just about already answered this question. If you had a crystal ball, long after you and I are gone, and these things that you and I are talking about on a constant basis are going to be, this country's going to have to deal with it at some point in time. Whether it's while you and I are still here or after we're gone, these are issues they're going to have to deal with. For the life of me, I don't understand why we won't, if we deal with it now, these issues now, then it won't be something that those who are left after us have to deal with. But at some point in time, these subjects we're talking about are going to have to be dealt with. And again, I don't see America, our numbers growing to the degree that we are ever going to be able to control things ever again. That's never going to happen anymore.
Well, we don't have to. That's the thing that dumbfounds me, is the notion that America seems to have, that we have to dominate the world economically in order to have great prosperity. We could be the most prosperous country in the world and certainly not be economically dominant. You can point at countries around the world who are economically even more prosperous than we are, that are clearly not dominant. So, first of all, dominance is an unnecessary objective. But my view is that until we solve our value system in our culture, we aren't going to solve these bigger problems. We are currently on a path, a direction in this country where we are morphing much more towards the things that we don't like about China, for instance, and the things that we don't like about other authoritarian countries. And here we are morphing in that direction. Our intolerance, this general level of public intolerance, is exactly what breeds ultimately fascism.
So do you think this, Sandy, then all of this is rooted in our politics? Or is it just the average Joe Q public themselves? Or do we take a lead from the politicians, or are politicians taking the lead from us?
I think politics are a reflection of the society and their values. And I think, and unfortunately, our values have caused us to become very unregulated, and we've taken our hands off things like regulating money in politics. So now we have a twofold problem. We have a value system problem in our country, and we also have the problem that we've allowed business to take control of government and the regulation of business, something Adam Smith warned us about a couple of hundred years ago. And this whole process has given light on and credibility to Ike Eisenhower's valedictory about the military industrial complex. We have a dual problem. Our societal problem, and now our government problem.
All right, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Sandy Williams is here. We'll be right back.